Do you ever feel like you're dragging your feet when it comes to making the choice to lose weight and get healthy? Maybe you're worried that you just won't stick with it, or it'll be too hard, or that the next thing you try will just be one more thing that doesn't work, so why bother? Or maybe you're just not sure the low-carb route is the way you really want to go. And so you're listening and you're learning and you're pondering, but you're still not quite ready to commit. If so, you are definitely not alone. And that's also why today's episode is perfect for you. Welcome to the Ditch the Carbs podcast, brought to you by Thinlicious. I'm your host, Ruth Sukup, and here we'll talk about everything from the science of weight loss and metabolic flexibility to practical tips for making your health a priority in the midst of a very busy life. It's the perfect blend of insightful education, practical application, and good old-fashioned motivation. So buckle up, friend, because it's about to get real. Hey there, and welcome to the Ditch the Carbs podcast. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Ruth Sukup, and I'm the founder of Thinlicious and the Thin Adapted System, as well as the New York Times bestselling author of 7 books. And we have an amazing interview for you today. But before we dive in, I do want to make a couple of very quick announcements. First, I want to give you a quick reminder that the doors for our main TAS program here at Thinlicious, our Thin Adapted System, are going to be opening first thing Monday morning, July 24th. We only open enrollment a couple times a year, so this is a big deal. So get ready for that. Second, I also wanted to let you know that if you are brand new to this podcast and to the low-carb lifestyle, then I would love to send you our free starter guide. It is super helpful for understanding a little bit of the science behind our program, basically how it works and why it works and why if you've reached a certain age, it might feel like your metabolism has just stopped working. And you can grab that for free at thinlicious.com/guide. And once again, it's absolutely free and it is available at thinlicious.com/guide. All right. So with that out of the way, let's dive in because in today's episode, we are taking another deep dive into what actually transforming your life through adopting a low-carb lifestyle looks like by sitting down to chat with another one of our amazing Thinlicious clients, Rachel Elmore. And I got to tell you, I love Rachel's story because just like so many of us, she was, a little reluctant to actually get started. And she was kind of a long-term fan of some of our other brands. And so, you know, because she trusted us, she bought the 28-day metabolism reset literally the day that it came out. But then nothing, right? She looked into it and she got really nervous. She got very nervous, especially about the low-carb aspect. And she wasn't totally sure she wanted to go all in. And so it took her a little while to actually get excited about it and to actually commit. And she started really slow. But once she did, that momentum started to build. But of course, as always, it is so much better to hear Rachel's story in her own words. Here is what she had to say when she sat down with Thinlicious success coach Lisa Thompson to talk about her journey so far.
So Rachel, if you will tell us who you are, what you do, where you're from, and how long you've been in the program, that would be amazing.
I am in southwestern Virginia near the Blue Ridge Mountains. I am 47. I have a husband, an ex-husband, and 4 kids with 2 with each. The 2 older ones are 19 and almost 22. That's this weekend coming up. And the 2 younger ones are 6 and 10. And I work part-time. I answer phones for a call center. And of course, I have 2 big dogs. I think I've shared that one, the group, a few times that I'm trying to make them run with me now.
That's so, so awesome. So you started a while ago.
Oh, yes. I'm an original. I bought it at day one because I knew that, like I've heard a lot of other people say, I've been following Ruth for a while. So I knew if she had something, it was bound to be good.
Yeah.
And turns out it was.
Yes. She is so great at distilling complicated information into something that is easier to understand and very, very doable and approachable. I love what she has been able to do with this information and with this community.
Oh, yeah. So. I know that this is, it is working for me, and I've made it fit into what I can do. I never would have figured it out on my own though.
I wish this had been around when I was doing this, like when I was on my journey, because I was like cobbling together information from books and medical journals and all of these other things to find something that was going to actually be sustainable, because I had done the yo-yo for years where I, you know, lose 50 pounds, gain 70, lose 60 pounds, gain 80. And then I was like, how the heck did this happen? And so eventually I was like, okay, enough is enough. I got to figure this out long-term. So this isn't like the rest of my life isn't like this yo-yo of I have 3,000 sizes in my closet because I gain the weight.
What's going to fit me right now?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where you're like, I mean, it was so nice. Like after I had maintained it for like my weight loss for like 2 years, that I was like, oh, maybe I can get rid of some of these clothes now without having to worry about gaining it back, because I'd done it so many times. And so, I mean, now that I'm 4.5 years in, like, I'm like, okay, like, this is good. Like, I'm super happy with the way life is at this point. But I do so wish I had had somebody like Ruth to be like, here's what you need to know. And Dr. Edie, this is the information, and to have a community that was like a built-in group of cheerleaders and a support system. So, okay. So you heard about Thinlicious, you knew Ruth had, you know, is amazing at what she does. And everything she puts out is great. So you decided to join. What was it about this that felt different than things you had tried before? And what were you hoping to achieve, or what were your goals when you first got started?
My goal, I think my entire life has been to not have the pregnant lady belly like my grandmothers did when they obviously should not have been pregnant. Okay. You know, I'm 8 years old and I can tell that this woman who is very close to 60 looks pregnant, but probably should not look like that, you know?
Yes, I totally get that.
So that's been like my goal my entire life, you know?
I love it. That's a great goal and one I haven't heard here before. So I appreciate that.
I've never been a skinny girl. Even as a kid, I was average to slightly chunky, depending, you know. I've never been a big, big person, but I've never been the skinny girl, you know? Just kind of been average, you know? And that's, I knew I did not want it to happen. I wanted to try and figure out a way to keep it from happening. After I had my last kid, that belly just did not want to go away, you know, and I didn't know what to do. I guess I was overload of information. Oh, do this because this will make your belly go away. Do this because this will make your belly go away. And that just kind of froze me and I didn't do anything.
And a lot of times all of that information is contradicting. So like, you know, eat less calories, eat more calories, eat smaller meals, do intermittent fasting. Like
it was, yeah.
Yeah.
It was just too much crazy. And overload was, it's bad for my brain. I'm sure it's bad for most people, but it just kind of froze me. So when I, as following Ruth, you know, and I'm like, oh, she's going up again. Oh, she's going down again. I knew she had that yo-yo thing, you know, and then she puts out these pictures and I'm like, whoa, what happened? And she says, more information's coming. I promise, you know?
I'm yeah.
Like, okay. I'm paying a close attention to this.
Yeah. I mean, that was a miraculous transformation. I mean,
but then when I find out, you know, how she did it, how long it took her, I was like, oh, wait, that's doable, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, I think we live in a society where we want either instant success, Or we're like, oh, well, I didn't lose 10 pounds this week, so I guess this doesn't really work. And like, I mean, my friends always laugh at me because for years I've been like, all right, I got to lose 50 pounds by this weekend. And they're like, that's not really realistic.
Oh, no, Lisa.
But like, that's what I want. Like when I want to lose weight, I'm like, I want to lose it now. And I want, you know, and like, there's so much like misinformation out there about how to get healthy. And so being able to watch people who've been there and done it in a way that doesn't feel horrible, like where you're not like, all I've eaten for the last week is lettuce and more lettuce. And like, that's not fun. And
I mean, I like lettuce, but not all the time.
No. And the fact of the matter is when you're like not eating enough and you're not eating the right things, like you end up being grumpy and your whole family's like, I would rather you be fat than mean. Like, at least I've had this experience. So I love that this program is a program of no deprivation. Okay. So you started, you were like, I don't want to look like I'm pregnant. When I'm, you know, in those older years. So what, like, was there anything you were like, okay, I'm excited about this, but like, I'm worried about this, or like, I'm kind of hesitant because of this. Like, what was your, did you have any initial, like, not sure?
Well, I guess when she finally said, you know, sent out the 28-day reset, I was like, oh, it's like keto. I don't know. Cause I had the idea in my head from all the other keto things I'd heard was that meat, cheese, and bacon, and, you know, those are okay, but I love vegetables. I do. I'm one of those weirdos who would choose a salad over a steak, you know?
Yeah.
But I will put steak on the salad. So, but, you know, and I read through it. I was like, oh, wait, I can eat kale and broccoli. That's great. Okay. So yeah, I'll try it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, I mean, like whenever I talk about like the foods you can eat, or we do one of those sessions, like the question always comes up about vegetables. Like, well, how many vegetables can I have? And how much of this? And I'm like, look, nobody ever got fat eating broccoli. Like, I promise you, if you want to add broccoli to your meals, like, and it's going to push you over those carbs, that's okay. Like, it is not going to kill you. You know, as long as the rest of your carbs are coming from broccoli,
oh, yeah,
and lettuce, and not like some fake weird keto food that's not real. So yes, this is a great program because it does give you the nutrients you need through vegetables and things like that. Okay. So you dug in, you're like, okay, I can have veggies. This is awesome. Like, all right. Were you, once you figured that out, were you like full speed ahead?
Well, I didn't go all in right away.
Okay.
I started slow. I kind of eased myself in. And that's mostly because I wanted to make sure I got it right. As far as what am I supposed to do? You know, I, after reading through everything and reading through it like a million more times, I read all the labels at the grocery store. Like, I swear, I think I spent an extra half an hour at the grocery store for a week or 2 weeks just reading. And I was like, oh my gosh, why am I eating all this crap? So, you know, I eased into it. I started tracking, and I realized that would be the most important thing for me was to make sure I tracked. I didn't think I would be able to do the testing, not because I'm afraid of needles. That doesn't bother me, just because I needed to make sure I could pay attention to what I was eating and that I was eating the right amount of everything. So I am one of those people that never got a keto mojo. I never technically knew what my glucose or my ketones were, but evidently it happened. So,
yep, it sure does. I didn't have a blood glucose monitor and ketone tester until, gosh, I was probably 9 or 10 months into my journey. And they were, I mean, like, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. And so they were newer back then. And I was like, oh, like I saw somebody post something about it. I was like, that's interesting. I want to know more. And so, that's what made me dive in, but I didn't know in the beginning. And now that once I had that tool, it made it a lot easier for me to identify what foods were problematic for me. And especially with all of my health and inflammation issues, I was like, oh, so interesting to see that like this seemingly good food could cause, you know, this kind of reaction, or even like, higher levels of exercise or exercise that's too intense will spike my blood glucose levels, which is kind of crazy. And so I do better with lower intensity or shorter intervals, like, you know, like doing, I can do a HIIT workout, but like running like 10 miles is a bad idea for me. Mm-hmm. So that works out well for me. You know, I was going to go run 10 miles, but it's just not good for my body. Sorry.
You do what you got to do.
Yeah, you do. So, okay. So this is my favorite question. So tell us about your results so far, because they have been spectacular.
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember. There it is. Oh, my book's under the thing. So I know my weight, which actually was never the most important part to me. But I've lost 25 pounds. I didn't set an official weight goal because I just wasn't sure where I should be at, but I figured 25 to 35 pounds would be a good range. So I don't know if I'm there. I've actually been at this weight loss, like I've been fluctuating between 144 and 146 for almost 3 months now, but my measurements have all gotten smaller still. So maybe I am at my weight. I don't know. But like I said, my hips, I think I've lost 7 or 8 inches in my hips. I've lost 5 inches in my waist and 6 inches in my bust.
That's so awesome. And if you go into the Facebook group after we're done today and search for Rachel's name.
Oh yeah, I just put up a new picture too.
She's got great pictures and they're like, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. And you can even see it like in your face, like just from different things that you've been like, I'm like, you can like, when we start, like people show up for accountability, you're like, oh, look at that. You can really see like the changes that are happening. And so, so I have loved watching your journey, and nobody will be wondering if you are pregnant because you look phenomenal. So
I still have a little bit of belly. So, you know, it's so much better though. So much better.
So have your goals changed at all since you started?
Oh, I'm still keeping that don't want the belly thing, but I don't think that'll be a problem now that I feel like it's just a habit now to eat this way. Really, it's just to keep going forward. You know, I probably will add in, and I'm sure I have, you know, I have added in more carbs, but they're all the good carbs. You know, I don't have, granted, I still like my desserts, but they're the different ones now, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't eat as much of them because I am filling up on those healthy proteins and fats and carbs that my body wants.
Yeah.
Evidently. I didn't know that. So now I do. And that's what I'm doing. And it's just, you know, my 6-year-old, he'll be graduating high school when I'm close to 60. Okay. Which I knew it because I had him when I was 40. And I want to make sure that nobody says, oh, aren't you so proud of your grandson? I'm like, no, he's not my grandson.
Yeah.
I didn't have that issue with the two big boys. So, you know, I'm appropriately aged, I guess. But, you know, when you have your kids and you're older, it's something I worried about. So,
well, I love that. I love how this has all changed. So, okay. Two of my favorite questions are coming up. So first of all, what advice would you give someone who's just starting out on their thinlicious journey? Like, and along with that, like, what do you know now that you wish you would have known when you started?
So I think when I first started, I guess I was kind of worried about, oh, am I doing this right? Am I getting all the steps in? But it's really, it's not something you may never get all the steps in exactly right. And it's something you just have to keep that list kind of to the side. All the things you can't eat. Oh, shoot, I shouldn't have eaten that. Okay, I'm going to try again tomorrow and I'm not going to eat. I didn't realize I shouldn't eat it, but now I know. Once you know, you move forward with that knowledge. You know better, you do better. But what I guess what I wish I had known back then mostly was that it's just a know yourself better kind of thing. And I've learned that as I've gone through it, you know, you really have to pay attention to what you know about yourself, or what you're learning about yourself, I guess would be a better way to say it. Because if you don't know, like I knew going in that I wasn't going to be able to keep up with all the stuff, I would not remember to test my blood sugar every morning if I was remembering to put all my food into the Lose It app. I would not remember to weigh myself every morning if I was putting all my food into the Lose It app. So I only weighed myself like once a week at the beginning because that's when I remembered to do it. But I made sure I remembered that one thing was tracking food. That was the one thing I knew was most important. So pick, what do you think is the most important thing for you if you're one of those people like me that can't remember everything? So it may be for some people testing the blood glucose because that's something they have a hard time with if they're diabetic or pre-diabetic. So you got to know what you can and can't do.
Yeah, that's great advice because so many people try to do all the things at once and then they feel overwhelmed and they're like, I can't, like, I'm just giving up. And so, you know, the people that start slow and are like, I'm just adding a little bit in at a time and figuring this out as I go is, you know, for some people that works better than just being like, all right, I'm all in. Yeah. Here we go. And then for other people
that can go all in and do it right all at one time. And I'm not that person.
Yeah. And some people, they can't do the slow and steady that just would never work for them. It's like dive all in, do it all at once. Try all the things, and that works better for them. So I love when people share like this worked for me, and then somebody else will come in and be like, "Don't hesitate, don't try to just wait and get figure things out. Go all in." And so we'll have, as we go through these success stories, you'll hear both sides of the coin and people saying, "This is what worked for me, and this is what worked for me." And so the thing that makes this whole program so amazing is that you can set it up to work best for you. And you can figure out what works best for your body. And so that you can be successful and figure this out in a way that it is a long-term sustainable. Yeah.
And I like that a lot of different people are doing this so that we get a lot of different ideas from the other people who are doing it. Cause you know, I might not have thought of this thing and somebody else might not have thought of what I'm doing. And we're like, oh, well, let's try this or that, or...
Yeah, I've gotten so many. I mean, I've been doing this for years and I feel like every accountability call, I'm like frantically scribbling things down because I'm like, oh my gosh, that is gold. Like that is so, so good. Like I got to try that. Or, oh, that recipe sounds fantastic. Or, oh, I wonder if I tweak this, if that will like make things easier for me. So I love hearing from so many people that have had different experiences just because everybody does things differently. And what works for one person may not be the best case scenario for someone else. And so it's helpful to hear all of the different perspectives. Okay. So one of the things that I love about this program is that, and I feel like this is the way it is in my life, like, and it's a combination of things, discipline and success in one area of life, I feel like it translates to everything in life. So like once you kind of get over this whole, like, I'm thinking about food all the time, or like, I'll never be able to lose the weight, or whatever those mindset things are, I feel like then you can, it opens up a world of possibilities to go on and do other things. So what else has changed in your life apart from like the health related, weight related changes since you started this program?
I think the biggest one is probably just that I can do more. Even if it's a kind of day, I still get a little bit done. Like I started decluttering a few years ago when we moved, because we moved from a 2,000 square foot house to an 1,100 square foot house. And so I'm still working on it. And I have made so much more progress in the last few months than I did in so like 5 years since I started trying to.
Yeah, it's amazing how, like, I feel like when you're not obsessing about food or obsessing about losing weight or thinking about all of these things all the time, it opens up, like, A, your brain is clearer because you're the way you're eating and you have more energy, but also, like, it just opens up your mind to be able to do more things and accomplish more things. And so, like, I feel like things that you might not have, like you said, you've been working on this for years, but you've made way more progress in the last little bit of time than you had in all that other time combined. So I love, like, I think like the health obviously is amazing. All the health benefits of changing this way of eating, you know, the weight loss, obviously everybody's, you know, nobody's going to be like, oh, I lost some weight. That was so sad. At least most people are not joining this program and being like, oh, I wish I hadn't lost weight. We're all pretty happy about that. But I feel like sometimes we overlook some of those external things that are changing as well that can be really life-changing. I mean, when you declutter a whole bunch of stuff, it's kind of like, oh, that was freeing. And so that's awesome that you have been able to do that. So, you know, you're busy, got lots of kids, got lots going on. What tips would you give for how you make this work in your day-to-day life?
It's been said a million times, planning. I mean, I don't know. And I'm still not a super meal planner prepper person, but I do it a lot better now. And maybe just the fact that I made myself do it at first, even though I fought against it and I still made myself do it. Now it's easier because I have, granted, we don't eat the same thing over and over again. It's not as variety, as much variety as I would like, but, you know, I do know what we can have in the house, what we can't have in the house. I still buy the kids their Oreos and macaroni and cheese. Those are never things I was super excited about in general. If I were to bring in a bunch of pints of Ben and Jerry's again, though, I might have an issue. So those don't come in the house anymore.
That's smart that you know what those things are. Like I love me some Ben and Jerry's. That is some good ice cream. But there are certain flavors I don't like that like my family likes. So like I can get some Cherry Garcia or I can get some mint chocolate. I can't even think of what that's called, but like, I don't like those. So that's not an issue. But like, if cookie dough comes in the house, it's gone. Like I'm eating it all. There's no portion control. There's no nothing. Yeah. There's like me.
That's the portion control, right?
You get the small little, yeah. I'm sure it's all one serving. And I'm sure it's keto friendly. Wink, wink. Don't believe me. A lie, and it's not good for you. And it's always terrible because then I feel terrible the next day. Like I feel so crappy and my joints hurt and I can't get off the floor if I'm like playing with grandkids or whatever. And then I'm like walking around like I'm 100 years old. And so like literally I have realized when I eat too much junk, I like walk like I'm 75 years older than I actually am. Like I'm like, my joints don't work right. Everything is like, it's just not good. So, that Ben and Jerry's, it is not my friend. It pretends to be my friend, it is not my friend at all. Okay. So you said you like variety. And so you like to kind of plan ahead. Are there certain planning tips that work better for you? Like, do you like just meal prep meat or do you try to meal prep the whole thing? Or do you just try to plan it out and make it that day? How do you make it work for you?
Well, usually I'll make a grocery list of not necessarily every little detailed thing that I need. I say we need meat. I say we need frozen veggies, you know, whichever's on sale, whatever, you know. And then when I'm at the store and I see what's on sale or what looks good, that's when I'll go through my recipe list and I'm like, okay, so if I get this chicken, I can make this and this. Like my kids love that coconut lime chicken thing, the delicious recipe. So I get that quite a bit. And so then that's when I go through the rest of the store, I get the ingredients that go with those meals. Or if I know it's going to be a busy week, I'll buy pizza for the kids. And then later that day, I'll make myself some pizza. I've decided that the chicken crust one is my favorite crust.
Okay.
But yeah, and then those will be in the freezer for when it's a busy night, you know, or I have crock pot stuff I can make. So it's not meal planning and prepping like you would normally think, but it is. So
yeah. I mean, you just have to figure out what works for you with your life and your schedule. So what is your favorite Thinlicious recipe? Or if you've got a couple, what are those?
The coconut lime chicken is definitely one. I think my favorite one though, and it's because I can make it in such a variety of ways, is the cheesecake fluff. And I'll make it just regular, plain, nothing to it. And it's fabulous like that. I add, instead of a graham cracker crust, I do an almond, flour crust. Mm-hmm. I just bake the almond flour with some butter and crumble it up. I'll stick that in there. I do melted chocolate, peanut butter mixed in with it. I do fruit, whether it's whole fruit or fruit I've cooked down into like a jam, mix that in. I even got some Magic Spoon cereal about a month ago, and that's pretty good. And I'll mix that into the cheesecake fluff. I got some of the Miss Mary's mix, and I use that for sweetener. They're coffee sweeteners. That's really good as a sweetener in the cheesecake too.
Okay. So you've got it the whole, you're like, my favorite 12 recipes are the cheesecake fluff and the 12 ways I make it. You're going to come out with your own cheesecake fluff cookbook with the 101 ways to make cheesecake fluff.
Yeah, that's it. I'm working on it.
So I love that. And for those of you who haven't made the cheesecake fluff, it is so easy to make. And like Rachel just said, you can make it a variety of ways. 99 of those, which I had never tried before, but actually would appeal to me. So I may be trying some of that in the near future. But I love that you're experimenting with that and you're like, oh, I could do this. Oh, I could do that. And that is one of those things that is easy to make and easy to have on hand. And like I've served it to a lot of non-keto guests that were over with, and, I put them in like cute little, dessert, like little parfait cups, or I'll do those little like shot glasses, like the little plastic ones that you get like at like Costco or Gordon's Food Service and buy like a thousand of them. But they're perfect if you have a whole lot of people coming over and you can just put them in the individual portions with some berries on top or whatever. So, if you haven't made that cheesecake fluff, it's worth making. And that coconut lime chicken, I don't think we've ever had an accountability call where somebody hasn't said that's their favorite recipe in all of the accountability calls I've done. Like that comes up like every,
it does.
Like people love that. And so if you are not joining the accountability calls, I have actually tried recipes that I would have never in a million years tried. Because people keep raving about them on accountability calls. And so like chia seed pudding, that is not something that would ever appeal to anybody's inner four-year-old. Like it's a weird texture. Like it looks funny. It has like little black things in it. So I was like, I'm not making that. Like I just smile and be like, everybody eat your chia seed pudding. It's so good for you, but I'm not eating it. And so everybody kept talking about how great it was on accountability calls. And I was like, all right, I can be a grown up and at least try it. And then I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. And I take the Lakanto maple syrup and I put it on there and then it's like delicious and I love it. And so, and it's easy because you can make it ahead of time and then you can grab it in the morning and or grab it for a snack. So if you're not joining accountability calls, there are lots of really, really, there's so much great information on those calls. And like you may be inspired to try a recipe you would have never in a million years tried, especially if you're like me. Angela said the chia seed pudding is so good. I was skeptical. And then once I did, I couldn't believe I waited so long either. Yeah. I mean, it's so stinking good. But if you have like, if you don't like weird foods, you might be like, I'm not buying chia seeds. That's just weird. That's way too out there for me. And then the notes, like I was like, yeah, I love oatmeal, but I am not making that like those overnight notes. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. That's weird. Who puts that kind of stuff together? And then I was like, everybody kept talking about them and I was like, okay, I guess I can try them. And then I was like, oh, that was pleasantly surprising as well. So definitely it is worth, it is definitely worth joining the accountability calls, not only for the inspiration and motivation and getting to know other people who are doing this alongside of you, but also just for those like hearing the favorite foods of people and hearing how they make different things to make it like really, really good for them. Okay, so I'm just going to wrap it up with Rachel and just ask a couple more questions. But if you guys have any questions for Rachel, drop them in the Q&A box. Anita said, we're going to turn you into a five-year-old before you know it. My sister last year when we were in London and she kept asking me to go to various restaurants, I was like, hello, you know, that is never going to appeal to my 4-year-old self. And she said, please, can you try to eat like a 6-year-old on this trip? Yes, Anita, we may be gradually helping me adult a little better by getting me to that 5-year-old or 6-year-old level. And my family will definitely appreciate that. Mandy said, does the chia seed pudding last for more than a day, or is it best to just make it daily? I make it and it lasts for quite a few days. So
I think I've had it. I make like a week's worth sometimes.
Yeah. I like started by making small batches because, you know, I was like afraid I was going to have to throw it all away. Mine typically, like it only lasts in my fridge for like 5 days before we eat it all. So I don't know if it lasts longer than that, but Rachel's made a week's worth. So there you go. Stacey adds cocoa powder to the chia seed pudding for a chocolate tapioca type dessert. Well, that's fun. And Crazy Mom said she loves your fluff ideas. Can't wait to try them. And that's not me. I am a crazy mom, but that is not who I am on Zoom today. So, okay. Last question for you. What is your biggest goal moving forward, health or Thinlicious wise? Like, do you have any big things, or are you just like, I just want to stay where I am and I'm thrilled with life as it is?
Well, I guess I kind of caught this as a preemptive strike to a lot of the things that happen as you get older. So I'm just hoping to keep those at bay. You know, like I didn't get enough insulin resistance to be show any like pre-diabetic symptoms or anything like that. I don't really have much problem with arthritis. My knees were starting to get kind of sore when I would run. That went away real quick. So I guess I'm just hoping to keep all that stuff, you know, at bay as long as possible. I'm just glad that I found this as early as I did. So then none of that, I feel like it probably would have started creeping up on me if I didn't get this when I did.
That's awesome. I love it. Yeah. And it does make a difference. I mean, lots of things happen to our bodies as we're in our 40s and 50s and 60s, and lots of changes are happening. And so if we can, you know, slow down all of those things that are happening and ward off some of those, you know, diseases and other ailments that come our way, that are health related. I mean, I think that's amazing. I loved, during the summit that we did, however many, that 3 months ago already, when Dr. Lowry was talking about the difference in lifespan and health span. And like, that was so eye-opening to me that like, what was it, like 17 years or some crazy number like of years that people like live this long, but they're only healthy this long at their life. And then the last part, like, I don't know, it was like 10 years or 20 years. It was like some crazy high number. They weren't healthy and they weren't like fully living out their life. And so like, I think for all of us, if we can get to that point where we're walking into, you know, our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, like with, you know, our metabolism is working and our joints aren't like killing us and we're reversing that metabolic damage and we're having, you know, our gut health is good. Like, I want to see all of us in 25 years in this Facebook group. I don't even know if we'll be still doing Facebook groups then, or if we'll be doing like virtual reality where we're all just be like floating around. And I don't know how all that works, but a lot has changed in 25 years. But I would love to see us all in 25 years, like living our best life as we are like getting older and we're able to do all these things that we never thought would have been our reality. And so the fact that you are well on your way to living your best life, and that when your little one is in high school, people are going to be like, oh yeah, look at his mom. Like she's rocking it. And you'll be like, yeah. And I'm on the 60. So like, what a great feeling. And ask Rachel, how do you get your family on board, or do you prep meals for you and meals for them?
I do not. No, I don't, it's not that I make them eat the official Thinlicious way, you know, but what I do cook most, I would say probably 3/4 of it is okay for me to eat the way I want to keep eating. And like I said, they do have a little bit of mac and cheese. I fix tater tots for them sometimes. I mean, the little kids, they're little, they can, their metabolisms are fine right now.
Your chicken nuggets aren't going to kill them.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that I did lower the amount of junk in our house. We don't have as much. And I always remind them, you know, if you eat it all now, you won't get it in 3 days. You know, I'm not going back to the grocery store until this day, you know, so you got to spread it out. And that way they're not getting as much of it as they used to. I don't give them as much, you know, candy and cookies as we used to. Now that I know better, I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't. If you get it at school or from somebody else, there's not a whole lot I can do
about it. Right. Right.
And my poor husband, oh my goodness. I am trying not to preach to him, but oh my God, it would help him so much. Like we sit at the table and he fills it with his steak and he's got a giant spoonful of macaroni and cheese on his plate. And he puts like 6 green beans or, you know, 4 pieces of broccoli. And I'm like, come on. But, you know, I fix it the best I can. I'm the cook in the family. I love doing it and nobody else does. So that's, you know, I like that.
Yeah.
I can control it better. Yes. So, you know, then, and I'm trying to set a good example. How about that? I've decided that's the best I can do. And I just buy a little bit less and a little bit less.
And I think it's so interesting. Like when you don't have that stuff in your house or as much of that stuff, like people just naturally start moving towards some of the healthier things that you have. And they start trying things they wouldn't have tried. I mean, you know, we're not even, like, I eat this way. The rest of my family doesn't eat this way. But I still make, like, you know, the same things. And then they eat whatever sides they want. So they might add rice or they might add mac and cheese or whatever. But I feel like what they do eat is healthier than what I would have made previously when we were all eating mac and cheese and lots of junky junk. And so, you know, we're the same way. I've got teenagers. They're not going to be like, oh, mom, let's just get rid of all the junk and eat vegetables. That sounds delightful. And they are great veggie eaters. And they eat way more variety than I do. They're much more adventuresome than I am when it comes to food. But, you know, they're not ready to eat this way all the time. And so I totally get that. And I, you know, I wouldn't force them to do any of that. But I think that everybody is way more mindful of what to eat and what's the best thing to eat when this is the option. Okay. Kitty said, great info. Lisa, I have a question about inflammation. I've been chugging along, following the plan and super excited that my joints and my hands were not killing me, but the last couple of days they are swollen and painful. Do you find that something besides food trigger that? Okay. So yes, I do find that actually, there are a lot of things that can trigger inflammation. So the biggest one for me is definitely, sugar, carbs, all of that stuff. Weather triggers inflammation for me as well. So if it's cold and rainy, that, oftentimes will trigger inflammation. One of the things that I only cut it out when my inflammation gets really bad unexpectedly and everything else is in line. Usually if I do all the other right things, get enough sleep, get enough water and don't eat any junk, I can manage. But sometimes nightshade vegetables can be very inflammatory. So tomatoes, potatoes, which that's not an issue since I don't eat potatoes, but eggplant and peppers. And so sometimes that can cause crazy amounts of inflammation. And so that's definitely worth looking into if everything else is good and the weather's good and you're not dealing with any dampness or coldness, because that can cause inflammation. Also, if you started a new supplement or medication, sometimes ingredients in those can cause inflammation as well. So definitely look at those things. When I was living up north and I didn't have the choice, like, you know, here at living in Florida, it's sunny and warm pretty much 98% of the time. So I don't have to deal with the cold weather. But when I lived up north and that wasn't an option for me, I had to cut out nightshade vegetables because my inflammation was so bad. To the point where I was like, basically like in the morning, I'd get up and I basically like have to like crawl to the bathroom because my feet would be so like the inflammation would be so bad and things like that. So, that would be the other things that I would look at, but make sure you're getting enough sleep, make sure that you're drinking enough water. And then make sure that your food is on point and you haven't tried any new supplements. So that's all of my, that's my little TED talk on inflammation today. So thank you for coming to that. All right, let's see. Becky said, my husband's diabetic, so he doesn't have a choice to do it this way. He's been uncontrolled for too many years. My kids, on the other hand, they pretty much love everything I make. So it's been easy not having mac and cheese, pasta, or carb sides. They didn't care for the turnip scalloped potatoes yesterday, except for one of my kids. She loved them and went back for seconds. That's awesome. I love seeing people who not only have they had great success with this, but it's trickled over to their family. Like I know Anna's husband has lost a bunch of weight, and like, it's just fun to see how the changes you make, even though, like Rachel said, I don't want to preach, even though I'm like, oh, come on, like follow my example. But eventually some of that really does impact the people that are around you, whether they want it to or not. And I think when push comes to shove and people start feeling really lousy, then they're like, okay, all right, I know what is, you know, what is the right way to do this. And I've seen people be successful at this. So just keep doing it, keep doing the right thing because it's making a difference for you. And it will eventually make a difference for your husband as well. What kind of support do you feel, Rachel, that you had going into the program? And has that support stayed the same or changed now that people have seen your success?
Well, I'm not sure that I really made a public announcement that I was doing it. Like I told my mom and I told my immediate family, just so they wouldn't be freaked out when I said, oh no, I just want meat and and I'll take the salad, you know. But right. You know, they were like, okay. And not that they were not supportive, but they weren't like being super cheerleadery or anything either, you know, because they thought it was weird. But again, they already think I'm weird. So I mean, I've always been one to just tell them straight how it is, what's going on, you know, so they're used to that for me. And I think that's one thing that did help me with this is that once I decided I was doing this and when nobody changed my mind, oh, well, you can just try this or you can have a little of this. Nope. That I got my mindset. I was doing it. So I did it. But they've actually, you know, my mom was like, you look great. Are you still eating like this? And she's seen some of the stuff. I mean, she's like, are you sure that's a diet? I'm like, well, it's not really, but it is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So, like, I mean, the fact that they've seen like, okay, like she's still eating good stuff and she's losing weight and looks great and all of that. That's
through, awesome. You know, all through my childhood and my teenage years and young adulthood, my mom has been on a diet. And off a diet. She is like a Diet Coke queen. You know, she had Tab back when it was a thing.
Yeah. Snapple cookies.
I don't know how I ended up with such a positive body image because of all the things that she did. Or maybe it was me rebelling against her because that's what I've always done. You know, even when I was at my heaviest, I still felt good. I just knew it wasn't good. You know, I still liked my body. I just knew it shouldn't have been like that, you know? So I've always... My mom's always talking about how big she is, and she's really not. She's slightly bigger than I am, you know. I'm like, how did you get such a good body image when all you did was talk badly about yourself? She goes, I don't know. I said, oh, wait, I know. It's because I always wanted to do the opposite.
The opposite. Yeah. I love that. I love that. Just love that you're keeping it real. And I love that people like that you told early on that were kind of like, okay, whatever, here she goes, are like, oh, okay, this is actually like, this is something long-term that you're sticking with. And
so my husband hasn't bothered me about all the new clothes I bought in the last 6 months. Cause he's like, oh, you got more clothes? I was like, yeah, the other ones are falling off of me. He goes, oh yeah, you're right. You know,
my husband is the least observant person like in the universe. So like, I'm always like, oh, like he has no idea. Like I once walked through a whole church service with a roller pin hanging off the back of my shirt. And like, he never noticed. So, until like after I met 50 new people and was walking to lunch, and he's like, is this part of your outfit? Oh, no, it is not part of my outfit. So I love that your husband's like, oh, your clothes were falling off. Huh? I didn't even notice. Like, oh, but glad you got new clothes. Well, and I love that he's supportive. Like, okay, you need new clothes. Great. Like, that's awesome. All right. So, okay, this has been so fun. Lots of people are saying how much they appreciate you, Rachel, like how inspiring you are, and that they loved your tips. Do you feel like someone just asked like how long you've been on your thinlicious journey and if you felt like it got easier further in?
Yeah, it definitely did. I think, well, like I said, I bought it in June, officially went all in the beginning of July. And it was hard for me to start. I just had to kind of make myself start. But as I kept tracking and kept paying attention, then I realized, oh, wait, I'm just eating like this anyway. I didn't even notice. Like, we went to Great Wolf Lodge with the kids for spring break a couple weeks ago. And I automatically went to the salad bar first. And then I went and got like 3 portions of meat and I was good.
Speaking of your Great Wolf Lodge trip, if you haven't seen Rachel's bathing suit pictures, you should go look at them because
I felt so comfortable in that bathing suit. I was so happy. I could not believe it.
I love that. Like, I mean, let's talk about, I mean, even if you have a good positive body image, like bathing suits are that one area that can make you be like, oh my goodness, what in the world? And so I love that you were like, first of all, you had to buy new bathing suits because yours were all too big, but then you found something you loved and that you were rocking it. So check those pictures out on Facebook. Okay, Rachel, you are such an inspiration. It's been so, so fun to watch your journey and just to see the transformation and like, just, I mean, like your before pictures, like were kind of like my inspirational after pictures when I got started on my journey. Like I would have loved to like, I'm like, oh, if I could look like that, but like to watch your transformation. Cause I remember when you posted and I was like, she really doesn't have like a whole lot of weight to lose. But when you posted, like you could see there's been a definite change in the way you look, and it's just amazing. And I love just how it's you know, moving over into other areas of your life, how it's impacting those around you. So thank you for sharing your journey with us. Keep sharing your pictures, keep sharing your progress, keep sharing your tips in the group. You have been such a fun person to watch, and you're such a great supporter in the community. So I love having you on today.
Don't you just love Rachel's story and her honesty? I love so much hearing everybody's different stories because everybody's journey is just a little bit different. And I am so excited for the amazing progress she has made this past year. Way to go, Rachel. All right, you guys, that brings us to the end of today's episode. I'm going to be back on Monday with another new episode where I'm going to get a little bit personal about my own journey to get healthy and share some of the big things that I really wish I would have known or could have known before I started my low carb journey. Not like the basic things like how many macros to count or what to eat and what not to eat, but really kind of the bigger things that probably would have saved me a lot of pain and frustration along the way. And I'm telling you right now, whether you have just been thinking about going low carb or you're already deep into it, there will probably be some really good takeaways. Maybe a few aha moments. So I'm excited about that. And also don't forget, on Monday, the doors are going to be opening up for TAS. So if you have been planning to join, be sure you are ready to go. We will be sending out an email first thing on Monday morning. So be on the lookout for that. It's very exciting. Like I said, we only open the doors a couple times a year, and this is a really big deal. You definitely want to grab a spot. In the meantime, guys, it would mean so much to me if you are enjoying the content of this podcast that you would subscribe or follow the podcast on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you like to listen. And not only that, if you know anyone else who would find this content useful, then please, please help us spread the word. Share this episode, send them a text, share it on social, share it via email, just shout it from the rooftops, whatever you can do to help us get the word out. And then finally, because this podcast is still pretty new, your reviews on iTunes and on Apple Podcasts are a really big deal. So if you feel so inclined to leave a review, that would be absolutely amazing for us. Just be sure to take a screenshot and then send it to us at hello@thinlicious.com. We are choosing listeners at random every week to win lots of fabulous prizes, including things like our Thinlicious Magic Protein Bars, our 28-Day Metabolism Reset, Thinlicious t-shirts, and a few other surprises. And then if you have any questions, or if you just want to connect, or you have ideas for topics that you would like me to address here on the podcast, please shoot me an email at hello@thinlicious.com. And then I will see you back here very soon for our next episode. See you soon.